The results are in. Missourians delivered a resounding rejection of Amendments 4 and 5, ballot measures that would have made it more difficult to amend the state constitution and set the stage to reconfigure the state's tax structure. Voters chose Wesley Bell over Cori Bush again, and county residents made their decisions on their presumptive next leaders. This all comes hours after Missouri's Secretary of State announced his decision, rejecting an effort to place a new redistricting plan up for a vote. Missourians turned out for the August primary. Now tune in for what's next on The Gateway. It's Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Abby Larico. In a contentious race that had been getting nationwide attention, Congressman Wesley Bell defeated former Congresswoman Cori Bush in the Democratic primary for Missouri's 1st District, a rematch from 2 years ago when Bell unseated Bush. Bell received more than 59% of the vote in this election, compared to 37% for Bush. Bell ran a campaign on Medicare for All, abolishing U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and criticizing the Iran war, though he was criticized by Bush for his support of Israel and funding from pro-Israel groups. In his victory speech, Bell criticized the Trump administration.
Costs are out of control. Healthcare costs are skyrocketing. The Voting Rights Act has been gutted by the Supreme Court, which means our very democracy is under attack.
But Bush's concession in the race doesn't mean she's walking away. At her watch party last night, Bush encouraged supporters to leave not feeling discouraged, but inspired to organize and keep holding Bell accountable.
We're not going to villainize or demonize anyone. We're not walking out of here with hatred, not even for the congressman. No hate. We don't hate. No hate.
The St. Louis and St. Louis County-based 1st District is heavily Democratic, so Bell will be favored to win in his matchup against Republican Paul Berry III in the fall. Before they left the newsroom for the night, STLPR's Jonathan All sat down with our political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum to talk about the implications of that Bell-Bush result and some other prominent races in yesterday's primary.
Jason, Wesley Bell easily won the nomination. Were you surprised by the margin of victory?
I was a little surprised by the margin. I don't think, if I look at this unemotionally, I was surprised by the result. Mainly because you had two campaigns, one in Wesley Bell's that was spending a lot of money. He had the support of several pro-Israel groups that were attacking Cori Bush everywhere. And then you had another in Cori Bush's where she just didn't have enough money to go on television or respond at all. And I think that the key message here is you can beat a candidate that is associated with AIPAC or pro-Israel groups if you fight back on the air.
Some people like to position this race as a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. Would the progressive wing be more substantial, or would it be more a moderate wing? Do you think that the results fit into that narrative?
The results are the results, and Wesley Bell won big. So this is a blow nationally to progressives that have been on a roll. I think the problem, though, remains the same. And that is Democrats writ large are more critical of Israel than they were 2 years ago. And they see groups like AIPAC as really corrosive to the party's future.
Hours before the polls closed, Denny Hoskins made a ruling on a proposed referendum on the new maps, the new congressional maps. How does that impact what happens next in all of these congressional races?
The worst case scenario is we may have to redo congressional primaries. And the reason is if the Supreme Court of Missouri reverses Hoskins and places the redistricting referendum on the ballot, the court clearly said in May that the map hasn't been in effect ever. It was basically frozen as of December 2025. And so it stands to reason that we just had a series of congressional primaries on a map that never existed. So I think the remedy to that is just to do the primary elections again.
On Amendment 4 and 5, more than 80% in both races of Missourians voted against a measure that would have made it more difficult to amend the Constitution and voted against something that would have started the process of eliminating the state income tax in favor of more sales and use taxes. These were Republican initiatives in a very Republican state, and they were defeated soundly. What do we make of that?
I am prone to hyperbole, Jonathan, but I do think objectively the Five campaign was one of the biggest electoral catastrophes I've ever seen. The pro side spent millions of dollars more than the opponents, and they were blown out in Republican strongholds. I think there has to be some real soul searching with Governor Mike Keogh and his political team and all supporters of this plan to purportedly get rid of the income tax, because it was a massive failure. And I think it is a huge blow to his political legacy and his political future. As far as Amendment 4 goes, I think that was always going to be a tough sell just because people in Missouri like the initiative petition process. They've used it. And I don't think the proponents provided a particularly effective message to basically get rid of it.
St. Louis Public Radio's political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum, thank you.
Thank you.
And Jason was speaking there to Jonathan Aull. Missouri voters also united in another statewide amendment decision supporting the Parks, Soil, and Water Tax for the fifth time in more than 40 years. Amendment 1 asked voters to continue putting earnings from 0.1% sales tax, half to Missouri state parks and historic sites, and half to fund soil and water conservation programs throughout the state. And 80% of voters said yes. Kendra Varnes Wallace is the president of the Missouri Parks Association and says the amendment's passage shows Missourians value their state parks and natural heritage.
Over the last 10 years, our staff at Missouri State Parks, they do a great job. They do it every day, not just, you know, the 3 months before the election.
Missouri is one of three states that funds its parks through a statewide sales tax. The levy's up for a vote every decade. But there will be no new use tax in St. Louis County, as voters there once again rejected a tax on sales from out-of-state companies like Amazon. Proposition U received 35% of the vote in the final unofficial results Tuesday. This marks the second time in 4 years that voters have rejected the use tax. It had been projected to raise about $110 million for the county, municipalities, and attractions like the zoo and parks. There will be a new executive in St. Louis County, though, with Sam Page not seeking re-election. In the Democratic primary for that job, Jake Zimmerman took home 46% of the vote, beating State Senators Brian Williams and Angela Mosley. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, Zimmerman will be favored in November's general election in the Democratic-leaning county.
Zimmerman beat Williams and Mosley handily, winning a vast majority of the vote outside North County. The Olivet Democrat believes the results signal that voters wanted less drama. Zimmerman says he'll hope to earn the votes of Williams and Mosley supporters.
That's what politics is when you do it right. You know, democracy is a messy beast, but there's so much work to be done, and we just can't afford any more factional fighting.
Zimmerman previously served in the Missouri House and has been the county assessor for 14 years. He'll take on Republican County Councilman Dennis Hancock in the general election. Hancock did not face a challenger in the GOP primary. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Leadership in neighboring St. Charles County was up for a vote, but will likely remain unchanged, with longtime incumbent Steve Ellman prevailing in one of his most competitive primary elections ever for St. Charles County Executive. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley joined Ellman and his supporters in St. Charles as they watched the results come in.
Dozens of people smile and chant in celebration of Ellman's victory, securing another 4 years as county executive. Ellman won with 47% of the vote. He fended off former state senator Bill Igel, who trailed behind with 31% of the vote, and former Lake St. Louis mayor Jason Law had 19%. Ellman thanked voters and says he's flattered by the win.
I'm just looking forward to working with the other people that are elected today and the people we have now up in Jefferson City.
Ellman will square off against Democratic nominee David Veneziano in November. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Incumbent Dave Schatz won the race for Franklin County presiding commissioner in that Republican primary, and Republican Tim Whitney won the GOP primary for Jefferson County executive. Gina Mitton is almost certainly the next state senator for Missouri's 4th District. She won her primary for the seat yesterday, beating Democratic opponent Steve Butts. Because no Republican filed to run for the highly Democratic seat representing parts of St. Louis and St. Louis County, Mitton is expected to win in November. Yes, there is another election in November. We'll help you navigate that one, too. In the meantime, you can check out more information about these results and other primary election decisions at stlpr.org. Now for some quick news where I think we're all winners. The U.S. men's national soccer team is coming back to St. Louis this fall. Team USA will face off against Chile at Energizer Park Tuesday, September 29th at 7 p.m. That'll be the second match for the U.S. men since they advanced to the round of 16 in this summer's FIFA World Cup. Team USA has a perfect 4-0 record in games played at Energizer Park. Their last match in St. Louis was a 2-1 victory over Guatemala last July. Special ticket pre-sales begin today at 10 a.m., with ticket sales open to the general public starting Friday at 10 a.m. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico. I'm thankful to all of my colleagues who've been working so hard this election cycle to bring you the insight and context to empower your vote, and to those colleagues who threw the election night pizza in the fridge for me this morning. From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Thanks for listening.